Good morning.
Good morning.
Are we glad to be here or what?
Yes.
I am. When we traveled here last week, we were lucky enough to find a place to worship last Sunday there in Wallowa, Oregon. And you know what's nice about Christianity is the message is the same from the Bible.
Amen.
And you can hear the truth when you hear it because it's of God's word. So this morning, we're going to be in Matthew 7, but we're going to start Proverbs here in a minute. We're going to talk about what we're asking God. What are we asking of God? Are we asking God to help us in our spiritual life, in our maturity, in our walk? You know, what we think about, I've come in my studies to find out that it's about the heart. It's a condition of the heart. Where your heart lies is where your treasure is. And when we ask God for help in our life, sometimes people ask Him this because they're asking for the carnal things, when we should be asking for the spiritual things. Because God has made this world with all the men in it, and He's blessed them with sunshine and rain and all the things. In fact, the ungodly are sometimes, a lot of times, more better off than we are in this carnal world. Because we're not here to chase the carnal things. We're here to ask God for spiritual help so that we might go live with Him one day. So let's look at our first verse here. Proverbs 4:23. We're going to read a little bit more than this, but it says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Now, you know, in life's way, men have a lot of things in their heart. Some people go for fame, or money, or ego, or prominence, or social standing. But you and I are appealing to God that we might be a spiritual man or woman, a righteous man or woman living on the planet, pleasing God that we might go home to live with Him one day. Let's go up in this Proverbs. Let's go up to about verse 17. We're going to look at the difference between the people that are out there carnally and you and I that are trying to seek God spiritually. And this verse 17 speaks of the world. "For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence." And I want you to think about the world we live in, because that's what they do out there. "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more to the perfect day." You see, people grow. People in the world, they grow towards their evil or towards whatever they're trying to get. But we grow spiritually towards God because we're asking Him to help us grow, to help us be the man and woman that He wants us to be down here on the planet, in whatever role or place we find ourselves. "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more to the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." Now I want you to understand that when we deal with people out here, they're sold a bill of goods. They've already bought the lie. And so God's let them have their deception. Right? They don't want the truth. You got to have a love for the truth. And they don't have a love for the truth, so God lets them have their deception. Because why? It tries us. It tries our method. "They know not what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings." This is the man of God that listens to God's testimonies and that meditates on them day and night. Why? Because when I'm doing my life, I'm not doing it to please you. And as a Christian, I shouldn't even be doing it to please me. I should be doing it to please God. So the question in my life, or your life, should be, are we doing the things that God wants us to be doing? Because every one of us is different. What God wants me to do, I'm called on to stand up here this morning. I didn't even know I was preaching this morning. It's all right. You weren't. You were called something else this week. But we're all called in Christ. that as we're ambassadors of Christ and we live as Christ, we have that in our heart, no matter what. And we don't have it just as an imagination. We're reading his word to be informed. So when he's living within us, he's living within us in what? In knowledge, spirit, and truth. Not just in fantasy. We don't just imagine God into our life. We read, and the Spirit comes into us as we read, and we comply, and we're obedient. And we pray to God. Help us stand in this wicked world. Help me to change the way that I am. I don't want to be my own creation. Do you? I want to be God's creation. God can perfect something in me that I'll never be able to. And that's the spiritual man. That's a moral spiritual man. Because we serve a moral spiritual God. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the middle of your heart. For they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So we're keeping our heart. What does that mean? That means to guard our heart. You know, when I was young, I would just think about anything and everything. And then I realized that God doesn't want me to do that. He wants me to constrain myself, to bring myself back in, because he's not an author of confusion. We have a singular vision, and that's to Christ. That's my singular vision, Christ. Because he's the one that bought, paid for me. Like Paul said, he's a bondservant. So are we. I didn't do anything. Christ came to do this before I was born. And in fact, this was designed before the world was even created, you see. And so we're just being compliant and obedient. Why? By faith. Because God is just and righteous, true. And we want to be the same way. Put away from you all fraudulent mouth and perverse lips, and put far from you. Let your eyes look right on and your eyelids look straight before you. See, he's got a way for us. We've got to look beyond the physical life down here. Because that's the problem with carnal people out here in the world. They only see the physical life. They only enjoy the physical things. They only praise the physical things. They don't even praise God that gives them all those things. They don't recognize the designer of all these things. You driving a car? God designed it. Oh, he breathed it into existence because he breathed the world into existence. He made the man and he gave the guy the thought process. And he made all the products. He breathed it into existence. So if you drove a car this morning, it was breathed into existence by God. Put together by men. The God made. With all his products. See, man doesn't recognize God for who he is. They think he's in some faraway place. But he surrounds us in every way. And when he calls us spiritually, he's always with us. Because we're going to him and not listening to the world. Let your eyes look straight on, right on. And let your eyelids look straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. He wants us to think about it. It's something I need to think about for myself. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove your foot from evil. He's got a way for us to walk and to look and yet to live, because we live righteously before him. And the struggles that we have are the struggles that we have to be righteous. The struggles that we have to be right with God. Not right with men. It's easy to be right with men. There's no struggle to that. If I want to be an ungodly person, that's easy. But if I want to be a godly person, now I got to think about it. Because that's not up to you to save me. It's not up to you to even correct me. It's up to me to be compliant with God. And it's voluntary. It's voluntary. And I hope y'all came here this morning voluntarily. Because that's the invitation of God. It's voluntary. because he's calling us to a place that we can't even imagine. See, he gives us this world, and it's beautiful. It is beautiful. And there's no doubt about that. But this is just his handiwork. This is not the goal. This is not the final destination. Turn with me to Matthew 7. Down there, we're going to start about verse 7. And this is what I'm talking about. What are you asking of God? Are you knocking that it could be opened? Are you seeking that you might find it? Now, what are you seeking? I mean, you know, the men of the world, they seek all kinds of stuff. You know, ego, money, fame, pleasure, all kinds of stuff. But as a Christian, well, we've obeyed a higher power. We've obeyed the Christ, the Son of the living God, the creator of all things, the one who came down here to give himself for us. See, we've got to think about that. He says here, ask and it shall be given. Well, what are we asking? You know, there's that old song we remember. That girl asked for a Mercedes-Benz. Is that the way we should do it? Are we asking for material wealth and status? Because if you are, this is probably not the place to be. Because that's not what Christ is about. We don't sell profit-based religion. He's not about status. You know, there's a lot of, I've heard in my industry, you hear it all the time. Do more so that you can help others. Yeah. We're not chasing dollars. We're trying to please God. And it's a different thing totally. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Oh, seek. Whoa. Seek. I thought we could just kind of lay around and everything just kind of come to me and all I had to do is be good and just. No. If you want something, you've got to seek it. I don't care what it is. You want a job? You got to seek it. You want a car? You got to seek it. You want a house? You got to seek it. You want to go on a trip? You got to at least find out how to get there. We're seekers. If you ain't seeking, you might think about it. Because you got to seek God. You got to realize that He has the answers for your life. I don't. I have a problem answering my own problem. How do I do that? Oh, we've got to seek God. We don't have an answer for our own life always. Because God is the one that's guiding us. If we guide ourselves, we'll guide ourselves into what? The ditch. He said, the blind lead the blind. They both fall into the ditch. Why were they blind? Because they weren't looking. They weren't seeking. That's up to me to do that. It's up to you to do that. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. You can't save me. You can't even make me be good. Christ is the one called. Christ is the one paid. I like you guys, but you can't save me. But we can be in the boat together. Going towards Christ. Going towards the Lord. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds. You see, you've got promises there. We don't realize, we're not seeking, we're not asking in the right manner. People of the world out here, they say, oh Lord, help me get a new job, help me get a car. They're looking for carnal things. We're looking for a seed that's made without hands. We're looking for a spiritual place that transcends all this nonsense down here. God's calling us to heaven. God's calling us to be with Him. For everyone that asks, it shall receive. That's a promise. So I guess the question to myself and to you is, are we asking? And are we asking the right question? Are we asking to be more mature? To grow? Are we asking to be more spiritual in our nature? To understand God's Word better? To allow it to do its work within our life? To cut out the things that I need to cut out and to add the things that I need to add. And he that seeks shall find. Again, another promise. So we're asking, we're seeking, and now we're knocking. We have two or three things here that we're doing. We're asking, seeking, and knocking. I have a part to play in my own salvation. I can seek, I can ask, I can knock. See, it's a two-part thing. Christ didn't just come down here to give me a license to live and sin. You know, a lot of people think that. A lot of religions preach that. Come to church on Sunday and you'll be forgiven your sins and then go live like hell on Monday through Saturday. That's not worshiping God, folks. Our worship to God is every day of the week. When I wake up tomorrow morning, am I worshiping God? Monday. That's Monday. We're not worshiping together on Monday. We worship together on Sunday, the first day of the week. We come together. We worship with one another today. Give God glory. What about Monday morning? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, next Saturday. We live our life in praise to God, or we live our life in praise to self. We're either asking for His guidance or we're guiding ourselves. We're either seeking His wisdom or we got our own. We're either asking Him for His guidance and His righteousness and all the things that He has to provide for us, or we just think we got our own. And we don't need to knock because salvation's free, you know, there's no works. People got that all mixed up. There isn't no works to earn salvation, that's true. But what about being thankful? What if you gave somebody a real nice, unaffordable to them gift? And then they were rude and didn't care about you that much, weren't even very thankful. How would that make you feel? That's what God's done, and that's why the world, when we're going to read this next verse here in a few minutes, wide is the gate, because they don't appreciate the gift. And that's what we're striving to do, is appreciate the gift. We've already got salvation. Salvation's already there. Listen, if you're baptized into Christ, salvation's already secured for you. We're just trying to be thankful and live the way God wants us to be obedient to the faith. You sinned last week, I'm sorry about that, but you're still a child of God. He didn't throw you out with the bathwater. I tried to live good last night. Last week, I don't know that I lived a perfect life last week. I didn't think so. But we're striving. We're seeking. We're asking. We're knocking. We're praying. And we're humbling ourselves. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks shall be opened. Folks, these are promises. This is like a law of nature. If I throw something up, it comes down. It has to. It's a law of nature. Like you said this morning, when we come to Christ, and we really come to Him, getting rid of sin is what we want to do. Not what we regret to do. We regret sin. We don't want it more. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son asks bread, he will give him a stone? Now he's giving us an example of how God is with us. Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? My dad do things he didn't want to do because he loved me. You know. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, he's just showing us a basic example, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would do men to do to you, you do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter you in at the straight gate. All right, now this is talking to me. This is talking to you. He's giving us an instruction here. He says, enter in at that straight gate. The straight gate. We're looking at one thing. We're not looking at self. We're not looking at merit. We're looking at Christ. We're seeking, asking, and knocking. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads to life eternal, and few be there that find it. And then he goes on to tell you, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. You see, it's in our nature. It's in our nature. Our nature becomes corrupt by sin. And we don't have any good fruit to God at that point because we're just living our life, not spiritual. But when we come to Christ and he starts working with us, what happens when you work with a tree out here and you plant the seed and you put some fertilizer on it and you take care of it and you make sure it has plenty of water and pretty soon it starts to grow? And then as it grows, you know, you prune it a little bit here and there because you want it to look a certain way and be a certain way. And then pretty soon it starts to grow fruit. That's a natural progression. And that's what we go through. The seed is planted when we go into the baptism. And when we come out of there, we start to grow. And God waters us and he nourishes us and he fertilizes around us so that we might have all of the things that we need to grow as a spiritual man and woman in Christ. And we keep feeding on his word because that's the sustenance of our life. Because he's going to teach us how to live through his word. He's going to teach me how to think through his word. You too. But I'll preach to myself too. You know. He's going to teach us these things through his word. And when we are obedient to that word and obedient to the faith and we're following, we focus on him. And then we come together on the first day of the week and we enjoy each other's fellowship as we all focus on him. But it's all in Christ. It's not in me or you. Although we have our part to play because of the fruit. And our fruit will be known because it's either good or bad, and it's either worldly, carnal, or it's spiritual. And as we grow, it's going to be natural. The older I get, the more I want to please the Father. Isn't that true? Amen. When I was a kid, I can remember being rebellious against my own dad. A lot of you people didn't have that problem. I got that. But I would do that, you know? And then I realized later on that, hey, I'm just hitting my head against a brick wall here. My dad has everything good for me. He only wants good for me. What am I wanting? Oh, that's a different thing. See, then I had to learn to appreciate my dad. Just like we have to learn to appreciate Christ. Learn to appreciate God. Because our own ways would lead what? Into that wide gate that leads to destruction. His way will lead us what? Into that narrow gate that leads to God's love. God's love. But you know, that love isn't like the world sees. That love is sacrificial in nature. And when we love each other, we're willing to sacrifice each other. Here's the best example. One of these little kids run out in that street and we see a car coming. We'll push that kid out of the way even if it causes our own death. It's natural. I would think it's natural. If you weren't willing to give yourself for a little kid like that, I don't know, you got a problem. Heart problem. That's what he's getting at. God's trying to get us at the problem of heart. Every tree that brings forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Why, by the fruits you shall know them. Not every one says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. This is why we meet together. It's because we're trying to do the will of the Father. We're trying to learn what the will of the Father is. How would I know how to please God if I don't know what his will is? How would I know how to please God if I don't spend time in his word? And If I make up something to please God, will it please him? I don't think so. If you're not under the banner of Christ, you've got a problem. A real bad problem. Okay, I wonder where I put that other verse. I put it on a different Bible. Okay. There we go. Last verse for this morning, Philippians 2. We're asking, knocking, and seeking. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to be obedient to the faith. We're trying to be united with Christ. United with Christ in his death, burial, and his resurrection. That's why we get baptized. Because we emulate his death, his burial. When we rise up and walk newness of life. Now that's easier said than done, and we know that. We know it takes maturity and it takes time. We know that a person is not miraculous. They come out of the baptistry and they still have bad habits. They're working on it. It is miraculous in the eyes of God because you're saved. But you still got things to do. Seek, ask, knock. Philippians 2, verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, and I've talked to the Christian here, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and of one mind, doing nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the others. You see, what happens is we grow in Christ. And as we grow, we have a responsibility to ourselves first. To comply, to be obedient, to be spiritually inclined. And then we have responsibility to those around us. Because Christ didn't just die for one person. He died for the whole world. Sins of the whole world. Well, some people mistake that. They think that all people are going to go to heaven because he died for the sins of the whole world. Oh, but to those that come to him and accept him. And bow before him, humble themselves before him, come to him through baptism, and then seek and ask and knock and strive to live like he wants us to live. And here he's talking about if there's any comforts, any consolation in Christ, seek to strive those things. Strive to seek those things. Keep going in that way. Because we have to realize that this world is not that easy to live in. And life is not always going to be just a little bed of roses out here, rose petals. People are going to throw in the branches too. It's got the thorns on. So you lay down and that thing's going to get stung a little bit. See? That's the way life is. And God knew that. Because we're being tried. This is the trial ground. This is boot camp, if you will. Because we're being tried. It's one thing to say I love you to Christ or even to your wife or even to the congregation. But it's another thing to show it. Because it requires you to put yourself second. Because that's what Christ did. He put himself second so that he might serve us. He put himself second that he might listen to God and do all the things he needed to do. That he might go to the cross and be totally 100% qualified to be our sacrifice. So we don't have to doubt. Now, you doubt yourself? Oh, yeah. Doubt yourself. You're not perfect. You're not going to be perfect. That's why he came and paid that price. Because even when you try to ask, seek, and knock, you're going to find yourself a little short. God's the one that's going to interject the divinity into us through his work. And that's why we seek, knock, and ask. And try to get our heart right with God. Because it is a condition of the heart. Looking not to your own interest, verse 4, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. That's how much he loved us. He left heaven's bliss up there and all that to come here to live in this body that you and I live in. Now listen, I guarantee you he sweated. And I'll guarantee he stubbed his toe and he hurt. He did all the things you and I do. He lived in his body. He had to eat food just like we have to eat food. He had to clothe himself just like we had to clothe ourselves. And yet he did all things because he loved us. And he loved the Father. So he didn't come down here to do his thing. He didn't come down here to seek fame or fortune or just to live eloquently down here on earth. He came down here just as you and I do in the trial ground to suffer all the things that you and I do that he might be able to pay that ultimate price to bring us home. To bring us home. That's why we seek, ask, and knock. Because I want to go be with the person that loved me enough to give his life. Because I definitely don't deserve it. But you know, we're not worthy because we can't make ourselves worthy. Only he can make us worthy before God. So we're not worthy, but he made us worthy. We're worthy of death, but he made us acceptable to life. Accepted in the beloved. That's why we consider ourselves. That's why we ask, seek, and knock. If you're outside the body of Christ this morning, there's nothing we'd rather do than put you into that baptistry, that you would emulate that death, burial, and resurrection and rise up to walk in newness of life. And if you're a Christian here this morning, I hope this has helped you to understand that we're seeking God. We're asking God for his help. And we want him from our very heart. Because it is a matter of the heart. It's a matter of us appreciating the fact that Christ came here and died for us. And that's why we come together to build one another up in the most holy faith. Let's stand and sing our closing song. Thank you for listening.